The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another fantastic edition of the UAB Director's Chair. He is the man, Mark Ingram, of course, the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. There's a lot going on down there in Southside the last couple of weeks. I'm Tony Curry. We do the show every single week. And I can be honest with you today, we are awake a week from Christmas, which I cannot believe. Being the 18th, and I just kind of wanted to ask you, we kind of do an end of the year kind of thing, just talk about what kind of year it's been for the UAB Blazers, highs, the lows, the things that perhaps we don't know about, and then maybe a little wish list on what's on your Christmas list for 2026. I can only imagine a couple of those have to do with some trophies, maybe some hardware, but overall, 2025, it was a hell of a year for college sports, just with the NIL and all that stuff. Just talk about that a little bit.
Well, there's a lot there. As far as UAB goes, you know, we didn't have the football season that we would like to have, but we've done really well in all of our other sports teams. Our women's soccer team finished third. Our men's soccer team has improved in the second year coach, David Lilly. We're in the second hardest men's soccer conference in the country. So, and with a win over number 17, North Carolina at North Carolina, Andy Kennedy's off to another good start. He's got 12 new players. Randy Norton's off to a good start. So our volleyball team struggled in the middle of the season because of a couple of injuries. So we had a really bad October, but we finished winning, I think it was 6 out of our last 7 matches. And so they finished really strong. I would like to have seen them improve, obviously. But like I said, we had some key injuries that prevented that from happening. And we just got yesterday word back that we had the best academic fall that we've ever had, ever in school history. Every single one of our teams, all 18 of them, had a 3.0 GPA combined or better.
Oh, yeah, congratulations. That's never happened. Congratulations.
Football has never been over a 3.0 ever. That's marvelous. And so that was huge for us. And we continue to do a lot of community service hours. So there's a lot of positive things happening. We've capped off the fundraising for our basketball arena, Bartow Arena renovation. We're in the middle of sort of informational sessions with people about how to get club seats. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting, been really well received. And it gives us a chance to speak in more detail to our fans in an intimate way about what is the project. And so we've been able to do that before every game with small groups. So that's been really, really well received. And so, yeah, a lot of good things, you know, to celebrate here. But trophies and on the wish list, yes, some trophies would be nice. It's been a couple of years since we had one. And I really do think that Andy Kennedy's team has a chance. I think that there are some nights where, you know, that they look like that maybe they don't, but then there's other nights when we play really, really well. You know, probably not a lot of people watched our game at Drake, but we played really well at Drake, but then we turned around and did not play well at Middle Tennessee. So it's like, if we can play the kind of defense we played at Drake and score the way we did last night against Cleveland State, we've got a really good chance of being a championship quality team. So, you know, Andy is, a really tough competitor. And I think Andy is in pursuit of a perfect game, and perfect game means 180-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if that'll happen, but he's trying really hard to get there. And, you know, but Andy's offense and defensive systems, I don't want to say they're complex, but he asks a lot of them. And once they figure out where they're supposed to be instinctively without having to think, I think they're going to be really tough. And you see that with his teams. There's this trend of improvement through the end of the year. And that's why they finally start to work together and know where to be without having somebody go, no, over there, not over here.
This may be his most difficult coaching. Well, we can't say for sure because we only got 15, 20 games into it. But I mean, from start to finish, this may be his most challenging year he's had as a coach, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, you got 12 new guys. That means, you know, when you don't have any returning starters or any returning players, in his case, You don't have anybody who, during practice, the coaches have to tell every player everything. But when you have veteran leadership of returners, if you were a junior or senior and I was a freshman, when we're off to the side, you can explain it, whatever the it is, you can explain it to me off to the side. No, man, what he's saying is you're supposed to be over here. And when the ball goes there, you go there, Oh, okay. You see what I'm saying? There's additional teaching and learning happening on the sideline. But yeah, so I agree with you. One of his toughest challenges ever, given the fact that we had one returning player, which is a walk-on from last year, who's also just a sophomore, a great guy, a great kid. But he too is a sophomore, so he's still also very young.
Yeah. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. We take email questions. And of course, we had a UAB fan on just, or super fan on just a couple of weeks ago. So we took some
Yeah,
questions
David.
right at the show. David was great. Todd in Southside said all he's been hearing over the last year and a half about the NIL deal was that everyone was wanting to get paid. I know we've
Yeah.
talked about this. Okay, great. The football players want to get paid. Now the basketball players, now the hockey players,
Yeah.
now, of course. How's that worked out? He wants to know, do our volleyball players, are they demanding to get paid, or how's that worked out so far?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, every sport now needs help there. And it's different numbers, right? Football and men's basketball need more money than, say soccer, but in their world, it's relatively speaking, still a lot of money. And yeah, so every sport now is in a place where they need, if you want to call it NIL, call it that, revenue sharing money, but additional dollars on top of the scholarships, or they need more scholarships. The House settlement allows us to put more kids on scholarship than the old NCAA limits. So, men's soccer, for example, is only nine, used to be 9.9. Well, now they can put 25 people on scholarship if they want, or 20 or 30 or something. Baseball can put 35 people on scholarship instead of the old 11.7.
Do you have schools that do that? Do you have schools that just scholarship
Not in the
everybody?
American, but
Yeah.
in the SEC, where baseball's really important, they're putting every single kid on a full scholarship.
Yeah. And if they can
And that's
afford
a
it.
lot when you if you've got 30, 35 kids on the team and everybody's on a full ride versus 35 kids on the team divided 11.7 scholarships across 35, that certainly changes the complexion of the team that you have. And you'll have kids that, let's say, will go to an SEC team to be on a full scholarship, knowing they're not going to play. They'll go there rather than come here thinking they could probably start because that place will offer them more money. Some of that is, like any other student, they're going to follow the money. I think a lot of students would say, I'm going to go to the place that offers me the most scholarship money. The difference is, if you're an engineering student, there isn't that component of playing time.
Yeah.
That's not the deal. It's, yes, I can live at this place in this town and go to this school and see myself being happy, and they're providing me the most, financial assistance to get through college without debt. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that, and now we're also talking about the opportunity to compete and get on the field and the possible professional opportunity, depending on the sport, that could exist if you develop, and development includes playing time. I got news for you. I don't care how good you are. If you don't play, if you don't play, if you don't start at UAB baseball, or at Auburn baseball, you're probably not going to play for the Mariners.
Yeah.
The Red Sox probably not going to come get you if you can't start for your college team. And that's the way you get viewed. And that would be true, with every sport. So, for kids that chase the money and go be a third or fourth string something at a Power Four school instead of starting here, they're going to have a tough deal come draft day.
What other sports do you find the disparity is more far-reaching because of the money now situated in college sports? I guess what I mean is, when you have 130-something college football teams, we know that some of the smaller teams, the FCS squads, can't deal with that. I would think, like last night, I think I saw an LSU basketball game, women's basketball. They were favored by 60 and a half. I think they covered too, by the way. And so when I think about women's basketball, it has certainly come through the roof over the last couple of years. It's on television more. They got a new television deal. They got all these different things. But are there? But when it comes to volleyball or soccer teams, I don't know. A lot of people can name, you know, the starting five or starting seven or whatever on a volleyball team. But are there different schools that are known for their volleyball team, and you know that you're going to have to compete against them monetarily?
Oh yeah, like Nebraska and Penn State are kings of or queens of volleyball. You know, they dominate. They dominate volleyball. There's a lot of the Big Ten schools that really dominate. Kentucky has gotten really good at volleyball, and there's some other SEC schools, but Nebraska jumps out. Like everybody thought they would win the volleyball national championship, and then they lost the other day to might have been Minnesota. Anyway, they were, it was like they haven't lost a set all match or all year. And then they lost the match, which was a total shocker. So they're not in the Final Four this year for women's college volleyball. But again, everybody thought that would be a runaway victory. And Penn State won, like, I can't remember how many national championships in a row. It was an obscene number, like 15 or something in a row. So sometimes maybe that goes in cycles, but like then there's schools like take Louisiana Lafayette is really into softball.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. You know, maybe there was a coach who at one point, you know, was sort of beloved and got out in the community and got people to pay attention to it. And now it's something that people in Lafayette, Louisiana really get into.
I'll be interested to see how, because they're so strong, SEC baseball, how the NFL plays into that, just based on what we see in the future.
Yeah, like, I mean, listen, we're the training ground for every professional sport. I mean, I guess I'll at least give baseball some credit with the major league teams fund their minor league teams, and a lot of minor league players never went to college. But for every other league, football, NBA, whatever, we are the training ground for all their, you know, their professional leagues. And it'd be interesting to see if we could get them to help fund some of what we do. I don't know if we could, but
yeah,
there ought to be an ask out there anyway.
No doubt. Tim in Birmingham, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Tim wants to know, Zach Brown Band at the Sphere in Vegas or AC/DC in Atlanta in August? To me, that's a no-brainer. But then again, you're talking about Las Vegas, yeah, and that kind of comes
right
along in Atlanta. I'll be honest with you. I'm not really I'm happy that AC/DC is going back on the road for a few shows in North America. It's great. I'm not into the stadium shows. It's just not intimate enough for me. I get it. You really can't have every seat's pretty much the same. But Zach Brown Band and the Sphere is pretty special. But what's your thoughts on that?
Well, so I'd love to see AC/DC. I've never seen them. We've talked about that, I think.
August 26th, by the way, in Atlanta.
When is Zach in?
They're starting. I think they're starting here in about a week or two, and they're going to be out there for a while. As a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're doing a whole show. They're doing a whole show for the Sphere, just for the Sphere itself.
Yeah, I'd like to go to the Sphere. I've never been to the Sphere. I'd like to check that out. I've been to. Is AC/DC at Mercedes? Is that where they are?
Yep.
Yeah, I've been there, been to a concert there, went to Taylor Swift there with my daughter.
Was that good?
It was great. Yeah. The show was fabulous. I mean, her, the production is like, it's like a theater production. It's unbelievable. And she's flying around on multiple stage sites around what would be the football field. She's in the air on like a chariot and stuff. It's crazy.
Wow.
I don't know. This is 6-7 years ago, but yeah, I don't know, man. I'd like to see. I like Zach Brown, but I'd prefer the music at AC/DC, but the venue for sure, the Sphere. I'm not a big Vegas guy, yeah, but the Sphere I'd like to check out.
Yeah, we'll definitely get in some more classic rock noise and stuff like that when we come up in the spring and summertime. We do on the show all the time. Of course, March Madness right around the corner as well, so it's going to be stuff. Mark Ingram, the UAB athletic director down there on the south side of your UAB Blazers. Go to UABSports.com, UABSports.com. I'm Tony Curry. The show airs 5 days a week on the TKR app, also now live on our YouTube channel, so you can check out the show live and, of course, wherever you get your favorite podcast. All right, 2026, what's on – your what's in your crystal ball for 2026? I know you got the UAB thing going down there at Bartow Arena. I know that thing's going to be getting worked on, but what are some things that you really like to see going on? And I guess an athletic director, you probably feel like you've been on your heels for a little while now, just kind of like, just because things keep changing and coming at you and you have to keep reacting to things because the Big Ten and the SEC are leading everything. But what are you expecting in 2026?
Well, expecting, I'd like for some federal intervention into what we do to help the NCAA enforce its own rules. You know, the NCAA is an easy group to pick on because it's just this, you know, governing body. Nobody really knows what they do, and they appear to be weak. And the reason they appear to be weak is they're an organization. They don't have laws. They're not enforcing laws. They enforce rules. And then when a school or an individual doesn't like a rule that they knew about, that they broke, that tries to be enforced, then they go to a sympathetic judge in their state and they file a lawsuit. And then that judge says, hey, you can't enforce a rule in our state. It's like, you know, this is an organization that we all joined. You know, people forget that. Every school, we pay dues to be in it, for goodness sakes. So everybody is a participant. We all agree to be in it. When people say, well, I think we need a new organization. Well, it's the same work. We're going to go create another organization that's just like the organization we already have that we call something else. Mm-hmm. You know, so when people go, the NCAA, they're not going to last much longer. Well, you can call whatever you want to call, but it's just going to be the same thing over here.
Yeah.
But you got to have the ability to enforce your rules. So I'm hoping that and that's what when we look for antitrust exemption, it's, we need the federal government to say, hey, look, if you're going to be a member institution, you have to follow the rules. And when they want to enforce the rules, guess what? They have the right to do it.
Yeah.
So that would be nice. Of course, all the UAB things. Let's win 18 championships for 18 sports. That'd be nice.
Yeah, there you go.
Really excited about the Bartow project. That's going to be a transformational project, Tony. And it's something that we don't I'm not sure how much you and I have really talked about on the show, but that's maybe sometime as we get closer, we can dedicate a show just to what is that project. But it's going to be, I think, transformational for UAB's campus, not just basketball, not just fans. There's that. But we have 200,000 people that come through our doors every year at Bartow, and most of them are here for something that's not an athletic competition.
Yeah.
You know, we host 13 of our own UAB graduations. Then we host 7 high school graduations. You know, the number of people that come for those two things are massive. And then we have a number of other things that we, obviously we're sporting events, but we have a number of other student concerts. We'll have like one of those every year in here. And we partner with the dental school and bring kids in from rural outer lying areas that don't have great dental care. And they come in and we set up these pop-up dental hygienists all the way around Bartow's concourse.
That's cool.
And there's dental chairs all the way around that thing. And we bring a couple thousand kids in to, you know, to get dental care. Like we also do that kind of stuff too. And job fairs for students and for student athletes and just a number of other things that we host that I think when people walk in the building, they want to feel like they're walking to somewhere that's nice and creates an impression of what the rest of the campus looks like. And we're not holding up our end of the bargain there. You know, the number of new dormitories and classrooms that are modern and beautiful. Bartow is structurally great and Bartow's size is great, but it's, you know, 40 years, almost 40 years of popcorn grease and soda stains and dim lighting in the concourse and really old, crummy looking bathrooms. And so we need to make some renovations to all that stuff, which we're doing. And, we don't have any family restrooms because when Bartow Arena was built, that wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to create that. And we don't have a nursing station for nursing mothers. And if it's whether we practically need it is hard to know, but because we don't offer it, we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and
maybe
so
you'd have more people come down if you did. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to have 100 more people at your game because you're going to have 100 more nursing mothers. It's not that, but it is not a convenience. It is a service that has become commonly understood as a thing you ought to do or a thing you ought to have, is you ought to be able to provide this service. And today we can't provide that service. So we're adding some things like that as part of the renovation too. And Hall of Fame for, we have a Hall of Fame in name for athletics, but we don't have it displayed anywhere, but it'll be displayed. There'll be a nice display in the arena as part of the project. So again, a number of things that I think are really fun and special that we're going to do that that our fans, but any visitor is really going to enjoy.
This may be a question for more like a Live Nation or something, or maybe someone from the Birmingham City Board or something. Like Kim wanted to know, why did Garth Brooks play a Protective Stadium? Of course, a lot of people obviously use Protective Stadium and the UAB Blazers in the same breath, despite the fact that you have partial ownership but not full ownership like you do with Bartow. It's owned by the city and part of the state. But why would Garth Brooks play there and not play the Coca-Cola Amphitheater and vice versa? I think a lot of fans, there's a lot of different places in town that would go, wow, that was a neat place to see a concert. Why wouldn't more people want to play at that particular venue as opposed to anywhere else? I mean, wherever you have more than 4,000 seats, you could have a concert for somebody, right? So how does that work? Do you know how that works?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think certain artists garner larger crowds, right? Garth Brooks is a guy that can play to large crowds. Coca-Cola Amphitheater, as nice as it is, isn't big enough. I mean, he'd have to be there kind of like the Sphere in Vegas. He'd have to be there, for a month every night to accommodate the number of people that would like to see him. Remember, he did that. He had not played a live show until that tour in like 20 years. And so he was super popular. I was kind of surprised that he came to Protective because I'm surprised that he saw it as big enough. Kind of like AC/DC going to Mercedes. I kind of thought Garth would be like just those kind of places. So Coca-Cola is just not big enough. It's super nice. It's just not big enough. And that's really it. It's not more than that. It's certain artists can garner a crowd to fill a place like that up, and some cannot. So it's about what the artist requires and that balance of what do they require and what can they bring.
There you go. I'm going to give you a week off next week.
And we don't, and by the way,
Yeah.
and we don't own Protective Stadium, so
Yeah.
we don't have partial ownership. We're a tenant.
Yeah. Gotcha. For some reason, I thought that maybe you guys had a couple $1 million into that place, but I know that was built.
Oh, we've invested a lot of money into it to build it, and sold all the suites to help invest in it and the naming rights and all those things. But and then the university pays to have our sign on the back of that scoreboard, which is a pretty large sponsorship deal, all to help fund the project. But we don't own it. The BJCC is the owner of the project.
Gotcha.
Now, we would like to start having some concerts at Bartow once we get through this renovation.
That'd be awesome.
So, yeah, it would be, we built the basketball practice facility, and you talk about having to go backward here and think about long-term vision. Is men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball all practiced and played in Bartow on one court? And so scheduling anything in there was impossible. And it was hard to schedule just those practices, like who practices at what time during the day. That was hard. But now that we're going to renovate the building and have the ability, there's some electrical lighting things that we're going to have and some acoustical things that are going to happen. That's going to put us in a position, we think, to have a concert venue that is in between a couple of things that the BJCC doesn't offer and create this kind of sweet spot for certain acts. And I don't want it to be something where it's a burden to our teams, but if we could have, four or five shows a year, whether it's a comedian or an appropriately sized, musical act, I think that'd be
That'd be
terrific.
great. Make some extra money on the side, no doubt. All right. So Christmas is falling on a Thursday. We usually film on a Thursday, so I'm going to let you have the week off next week.
Okay.
Maybe the following week will be New Year's Eve, just the way it
Yeah.
falls. But we'll keep in touch. Anything changes down there, I expect you to reach out to me first so we can break it right here on Tony Curry Radio. But I love you. I appreciate you. Merry Christmas to
Yeah, same.
you and the Ingram family. And I hope everything goes well. And hopefully we'll see you over the holidays.
Same to you, Tony.
Thank you,
All right.
brother.
Merry Christmas.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.